Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to the Wednesday night cheer. We are very excited for the upcoming Chag Zman Simchasenu. Sukkot is approaching, and the Torah says, "Basukkos teishvu shivas yamim, kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yeshvu b'sukkot." So sit in the sukkah, and this unusual term "kol ha'ezrach" is picked up upon by Chazal. But the Ramban comments on the second of Mamre Komos. What does that mean? That every ezrach shall dwell in the sukkah, says the Ramban beautifully, Ka'omar kol asher hu miYisrael, every Jew, migdolam ve'ad ktanam, from the big ones to the small ones, we'll say the most prestigious to the most humble of the Jews, shelo yedai be'echad mibnei habayis, it would not be appropriate if one member of the household goes lador b'sukkah, v'hashar yeshvu b'batim, and the remaining members of the family go inside of the home. No! Aval kulam yeshvu basukot. Everybody should sit in the sukkah. And certainly the sukkah is a time to gather family together. And the Ramban is pointing out, just shot of the pasuk, although Chazal pick up on dinim related to gerim, whatever. But ultimately, the Ramban is saying the family should be together in the sukkah. And it would be highly inappropriate for one member of the family to be in the sukkah while the remaining family members are inside, and everyone between now and Friday night should figure out a way to make sure that everyone's comfortable in the sukkah, encouraged to be in the sukkah, because it should not be a night of, fighting or cold, and I don't want to go to the sukkah. We should all try to create the atmosphere where it's really a family evening together. Yes, Rabbi Weintraub?
The male
family. Okay, on a halachic level, obviously, yes. Yeah, of course. Halachically, obviously, the man knows that women are exempt from the sukkah. But be that as it may, I think the point is clear. The idea of the mitzvah is that people should be united in the sukkah. And although, the sukkah could potentially lead to some discomfort, it could be, like a big sweatshirt night. People are cold, they're tired, hungry, whatever. Our job is to do a little bit of basic preparation to make sure everyone's excited to be in the sukkah and everyone knows their place. Right now, we're just talking about the first night. Right, after that, you can get into a fight. That's right. All 7 days. Very good. I stay corrected. Right, but Robert, I give you a hat. You can only, chumrah is to be, no fighting for 7 days. Let's just say alibi. But the first night should still be, But yeah, AB is right. The pasuk's talking about all 7 days. Okay. So again, the pasuk explains why do we sit in the sukkah. L'man yedu d'orasechem ki basukos of shavti es b'nei Yisrael. We should all remember that Hashem put us in sukkos when we left the Mitzrayim. But we see also b'nei Hashem l'keichem. Okay, we're not going to get to the machlokas of it's sukkos mamish or the anani hakavod. But we should all have kavanah this evening. If you're like the MC at your meal this coming Friday night, you should make an announcement. Why we sit in the sukkah? We're doing this to remember that Hashem took us out of Egypt, but didn't simply take us out. He protected us in the Midbar. Parenthetically, that answers the famous question of why we celebrate Sukkot this time of year. Everyone asks the Torah's Kasha, knew it should be Nisan when Hashem took us out of Egypt. The Ramban answers beautifully, no, we're not celebrating the Exodus, we're celebrating the time when Hashem protected us in the actual Midbar. And that was most apparent when the weather started to change. That's when we needed the protection the most. So specifically, it was this time of year when we recognized and appreciated the protection from the Ribono Shel Olam in the Midbar. So we protect, again, we celebrate not the Yetziat Mitzrayim, rather we celebrate, in contrast, the protection we received in the journey, on the journey in the Midbar. Okay, so everyone should give a shout out to that. It should feel a little bit like Pesach night in the Sukkah, at least ideally. Okay, so be that as it may, again, the main topic for this evening is going to be when to recite the Bracha of Leishei Basukkah. Because the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvot, Asei Kuf Samaches, explains, He Shet Tzivanu Leishei Basukkah Shivas Yamim B'Yemei HaChag. What's the mitzvah? To sit in the sukkah for 7 days.
That doesn't mean sit, it means to live.
Okay, so Dr. Karpa knows the Gemara, that the word Leishei here is not meant to be literally taken. To sit really means to dwell. Very good. Hypothetically, you could accomplish the mitzvah standing up. Certainly, according to most, and then just about everyone. However, there's such a concept of chumrah of leishev. That being said, we see there's a mitzvah between day one and day seven is seemingly equal. And the Gemara in Masechah Sukkah, Memheh Amud Beis, actually asks the question, how many times during the holiday of Sukkot should you make the bracha on leishev? Can anyone suggest a reason as to only make why would one think to only make one bracha for the entirety of the holiday? Make one leis shave in the beginning of the holiday, and that will carry you through the entire 7 days. How does that make any sense?
It will if you don't walk out of
the sukkah. Right, meaning it's just one extension of the mitzvah, meaning it's a mitzvah to live in the sukkah for 7 days. So the mitzvah begins at the beginning of sukkahs, and it ends at the end of sukkahs. So, okay, without getting into details of Hesach Hadas, of, you know, you canceled your bracha because you left your sukkah for too long, but you could understand the concept, at least in principle, of one bracha literally exempting you throughout the entirety of the holiday. And in fact, that is the opinion of Shmuel. The Gemara Masechet Sukkah Mehmed Beis says, I'm Rav Yehuda Meshmuel, you make the bracha on the lulav shiva all 7 days, the lulav gets its own bracha, but sukkah yom echad. Why? You know why? Because lulav, the mafsaki leilos, miyamim, there's a hefsek, the night will make a hefsek between 2 days. So the new day is a new day, and therefore you need to make a new bracha. Very good. By lulav baby points out the Baal Koreh, that there's a din of yom by the mitzvah of arba minim, excellent. So the night will cause a hefsek. In contrast, by the sukkah, the lo masa mefaski leilos, the mitzvah applies equally during the day and at night. So it's literally an extended mitzvah through 7 days, nights included. In contrast, the opinion of Shmuel, Rabbi Brachana quotes Rabbi Yochanan saying, no, sukkah shiva v'lulav yom echad, the opposite opinion. Sukkah is a din d'oraisa, so it gets a bracha every day. Lulav is not a d'oraisa every day, it's only d'oraisa the first day, so it only gets one bracha. The remaining days don't get a bracha. We don't paskin like opinion number one, nor like opinion number two. We paskin like opinion number three. Ki asa rabin am Rabbi Yochanan, echad zeh v'echad zeh shiva. Certainly we make a bracha both on the sukkah and on the lulav every single day of sukkahs. Okay, very nice. So what we should do this year is that we should ideally be zoche bezos Hashem Yisbarach to sit in a sukkah 7 days, and that's a minimum of seven brachos. Beautiful. I guess technically eight brachos, you know, the first night. Whatever you want, I guess, you know, seven times two, every day, every night. Okay, very, very, very nice. So what is the mitzvah of dwelling in the sukkah? So the Gemara says, as referenced earlier, Tanu Rabbanu Kavchesam Rebeis Maseches Sukkah, Koshivas Yamim Adam Osa Sukkoso Kevav Beis Arai. The main dwelling should become your sukkah, and your house, ironically, should become temporary. So the sukkah is the main home. Ketzad, how does one practice that? Hayulu Kelim Noyim Alim the sukkah. If you have nice dishes, put them in the sukkah. Matzos Naz, you have nice sheets, put them in the sukkah. You eat, you drink, Umitayel Besukkah. You spend all your time in the sukkah because the Torah says Teshvu. So the limud is Teshvu Ke'ein Tadur. What does it mean to literally sit, to dwell in the way you live? So that means for 7 days, your sukkah is your home. Again, you bring in your finest dishes and your finest sheets. If you eat, you drink, you spend time in the sukkah, and you even learn Torah in the sukkah. You know, you have a friend you want to catch up with, whatever it is, you do the schmoozing in the sukkah. That is the mitzvah. Now, again, parenthetically, amazing savings is not only savings, it's amazing, and therefore everyone should have a bracha of shalom bayis, and whatever dishes are brought into the sukkah. We don't paskin these shas. These, if you look at the, we'll just say the shalom bayis edition of shas, so there's Rashi on the inside of the page, there's Tosfos on the outside of the page, but between the lines, in the margin between the Gemara and the Rishonim, that's where the women have the ha'aros, and the ha'aros shalom bayis by all the women of Klal Yisrael, they say amazing savings, plastic, disposable dishes has the status of kelim na'im, and therefore everyone should use plastic and paper. And the biggest bracha of all is to bring shalom into the sukkah and keep shalom in the home. So you keep your china in the house if that's what your wife says. But again, in principle, the sukkah should feel like a dining room table. Again, in my home, we don't bring our finest tablecloths to the sukkah, but we do buy special tablecloths for sukkahs. So it's like this like middle stage category where we have like the weekday tablecloth with its, you know, we'll say shtickle nebi. We have the spitz Shabbos tablecloth. My wife respectfully requests, let's not bring that into the sukkah. I don't want it to get dirty, rainy, whatever. But there's a fancy tablecloth for sukkahs. Meaning, it's even fancier than Shabbos. It's a new level. It's unique, we'll say. It's reserved for sukkahs, and that's good enough, we'll say, for this, you know. I'm even yabbing.
That's not Kalim Noyim.
That's Kalim Nam. That's Kalim Nam. It's Kalim Lecholadesk. All right. It's Kalim Nam. Okay, I'm not such a traditionalist and very progressive. Kalim Nam. Okay, all right. Take it or leave it. Here, that's my sheet. That's my Chumra and Shalom Bayis. Cool. It's my Masor from my Rebbeim. I'll say it like that. Okay. So the Rambam. So if logically this is the mitzvah, so who can logically therefore conclude what should warrant the bracha of leishev v'sukkah? Logically. You should make the bracha of leishev when you do this in the sukkah. When you do what? Or when you fulfill the mitzvah. When you do what in the sukkah? When you sit, when you eat, when you be kiddush. When you live in the sukkah. So let's say you have a friend who you have not seen in a long time. You have a relative who you have your own child who lives out of town. They visit. You want to go shmooze in the sukkah. And no food, a minor food, minor snack. Bracha or no bracha? Logically. Not seeing anything. Logically, of course, there should be a bracha. Why? You're fulfilling the mitzvah of teshuva kein tedur. You're about to be mekayem a mitzvah midal raisa of basukah teshuva shivas yamin. So, of course, you should make a bracha. You're about to do a mitzvah. Whereas your son might say, Abba, let's go catch up in the living room couch. And you say, no, let's go to the sukkah, sukkahs. So that's a mitzvah. The Rambam writes, Kol zman sheikanes l'shev basukah, kol shiva, all the time you sit in the sukkah for the 7 days, mevarech kodem sheyeshev. Okay, there's what to say in that wording of the Rambam. But you make the bracha before you sit down. Baruch atah Hashem l'kirem l'cholam ha-shirgit Hashem l'zvenu, l'shev basukah. Okay, so now there's an overlap. I don't know how many people are really makbid for that Rama, but the Rama, again, his position, again, I don't think this is the Minog. However, I forgot to chazer this particular din, but this sheet of the Rama would be that you make the bracha standing up and then you sit down, right? Again, does anyone do that? Anyone know? It's not the... you did for Kiddush, right? You know, again, I don't know. I have to chazer again, our regular common day practice, Ashkenazi, Minogim, etc. But the Rama sheet, again, is that you're about to do the mitzvah, you're standing up, you make the bracha, you sit down. Very nice. Okay. So the key line, though, for our show to take from that Rambam is kol zman, any time you enter the sukkah. And that makes a ton of sense, because any time you enter the sukkah, you're doing a mitzvah. So the classical commentaries on the Rambam are going to point out that the Rambam makes a ton of sense, but it's against one of the classical Rishonim. Which Rishon is he against? Rabbeinu Tam. So not on the Mar Mekomos, but in front of me, one of the Mefarshim and Maseches Brachos, at least the Tosos Rabbeinu Yehuda Chassin in Brachos, he has an amazing anecdote. He says, "Sha'alti me Rabbeinu Tam." That's pretty cool, right? Like a live Shiloh, like Shiloh's for Tshuvos Rabbeinu Tam. And he writes, "Menuchaso Kavod." Seemingly, he had recently passed or something like that, but he had been alive with him, and at the time of this Tshuva, Rabbeinu Tam was no longer alive. Unbelievable. He writes, "This is Maseches Brachos Perek Aleph." He writes, Al brachos, birchos asukah, im sorg levarach kishenichnas leishen ba. So maybe you're not going to be able to fall asleep. So if you make the bracha leishave and you end up sleeping there, that's not good. And if you wait a little bit longer and you're already basically asleep, you can't make the bracha because you're basically sleeping. So what should you do? So again, logically, I don't know, not an easy question, I guess. Rabbeinu Tam responds, Kal kol mitzvah sukkah sheikai misuda achas v'od su'uda acheres. So any mitzvah you perform in the sukkah between meals one and meal two, kagon shena, v'tiul, v'shinun, whether you're sleeping, you're chilling, or you're learning, birchat leishev b'sukkah shebeirach b'sudaso potarto milivarech aleihem. What did Rabbeinu Tam just paskin? If you made a leishev basukah at dinner and you continue to chill out in the sukkah, that leishev from dinner will carry you all the way until breakfast the next morning. And the same would go from lunch until dinner. And Rabbeinu Tam goes even farther, or rather the Rabbeinu Yehuda Chassin himself then elaborates. And he says, based on Rabbeinu Yaakov. Who's Rabbeinu Yaakov? Rabbeinu Tam. Why is Rabbeinu Tam Rabbeinu Yaakov? Right? Yaakov Ish Tam. Right? Yaakovinu is referred to as an Ish Tam Yoshev Olam. It's Rabbeinu Yaakov, Rabbeinu Tam. Right? Same guy. V'im Sham Ein Tzarech Levarech Al Hashena. So you don't have to, so according to Rabbeinu Yehuda Chassin, Rabbeinu Tam told me, you don't need to make a bracha when you sleep because dinner's Leishev exempts you. Aye, but let's say you went to a similar space to Raven, Barrow Park. Between dinner and sleeping, what would you say? You live in Fairlawn. You made a bracha at dinner in Fairlawn, New Jersey at 8 p.m. But then you go to Bar Park at 9 p.m. You don't go back until 2 in the morning. So should you? I would have said, so now make a new lay shave. No. No. Why? Says Rabbi Nuchasid, even if you had Hesach Hadas, you left, you went to work between breakfast and dinner, doesn't really matter. Oh my gosh. What? He's saying, right. He's saying, certainly, if you always had intention to return, but even if not, he's saying, even if you go to work, you made a lay shave in the morning when you had breakfast, then you went to work, your lay shave carries you all the way, like, very nice, Mashal Adam, like Birchas HaTorah carries you all the day, so to your lay shave carries you all the day. Oh my gosh. I would not have said that. I would have said, even Rabbeinu Tam, again, this is my little manual stamp of you, I would have said, Rabbeinu Tam just meant that there's an ikur and there's a tafel. Meaning the ikur, dira, and the sukkah is the eating. So if you do, let's say, six things in your sukkah, so the primary thing that you do in your sukkah is eating. So the other five items you do in your sukkah, so you slept, you had a, you know, a family shmooze, you played cards, whatever it is, you learned Torah. So those other five activities from the sukkah are just subsumed and they're secondary to the mitzvah of eating. Let's assume you ate there. And if you didn't eat there, what would I didn't ask Rabbeinu Tam myself like Rabbeinu Chassid did. I would have said Rabbeinu Tam himself would have told me, well, listen, if you don't eat, then you make a bracha when you sleep. If you don't eat, then you need to make a bracha when you hang out with your friends there. Because the whole reason I told you not to make a bracha before was because the bracha you made when you ate covered the other activities. But if you never made a bracha in the first place, then you better make a bracha now. That's what I would have said. No one says that. But that's what I would have said in Lamdas. So now we have a problem. So that's the famous machlokas between, we'll say, Rambam versus Rabbeinu Tam. If you look at the Mefarshim on the Rambam, so back in the Marmakomos, is the last Marmakom in the first page. So the Hagonos Mamonos, he says, who paskins like the Rambam? So the Rambam would say that you'd go into a sukkah even 10 times a day, you'd make a new lay shave. The Pahag, the Yereim. And they compare it to tefillin. The Shas, we didn't give you the Gemara, but the next daf in the Gemara, Memvav, in Sukkah, says the same mashal about when you would make multiple brachas on your tefillin. If you put your tefillin back on during the day, no matter what, you'd make a new bracha. So too by Sukkah. Wow. But then the Hagos Mamonius writes, it's not like Rabbeinu Tam. Wow. Not like Rabbeinu Tam. Can't believe it. So the other classical Peirush on the Rambam Magen Mishnah, what does he write? He says that the Rambam would tell you to make a new bracha every time you entered the sukkah. That's what the Gemara says, and the Bahag paskins this way. And says the Gaonim, even if you went into the sukkah 100 times, you would make 100 brachos. The same way, hypothetically, if you put your tefillin on and off 100 times a day, you potentially make 100 brachos if you had Hesach Hadas. I mean, obviously, if you take your tefillin off for a second, you know, again, l'mashal l'mahadover domer, if one were to take the tefillin off to urinate, you wouldn't make a new bracha when you put your tefillin back on. So again, a slight, you know, deviation from the mitzvah does not cancel out your original bracha, but anything that's not a, you know, anything that is a deviation, a legitimate deviation, would, you know, it would cut off your original bracha, and you should make 100 brachos. The Magen Mishnah himself concludes, u'mikom makum nahagu, what's the minug? She'ein mevarchin, like Rabbeinu Yaakov. So the minhag has become, according to many, like Rabbeinu Tam. What that means is that we would only make the bracha of leishiv b'sukkah if you're eating in the sukkah. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins this way. Tough reish lamet ha-sifches. Nagu she'ein mavarchin ha-sukkah ela b'shas achila. Now that was a much more, we'll say, firm language. And this is the checkmate against me. Because I wanted to argue that even Rabbeinu Tam would have told you to make a lay shave if you did not make a bracha of lay shave yet. So let's say hypothetically, before you eat, you sit down to learn for a half hour. So when you sit down to learn for a half hour, you're being mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa of lay shave basukah. I would have told you that my guess was that Rabbeinu Tam would tell you make a bracha of lay shave right away when you come to learn. Tana, you agree with me or no? You agree with me? It makes sense. Why would you wait a half hour before making the bracha of lay shave, no? But the Shulchan Aruch says, no, we only make the bracha when you eat. V'hachi nog, says the Ramah. So Ashkenazim, Sfaradim, everyone will only make the bracha of leishev when you eat. Who would disagree with the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah? Who has broad enough shoulders to disagree with the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah? The Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon has a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, right there on Sifkat and Lamed Beis. He says, listen, the Gemara doesn't really sound like this. The Gemara sounds a lot more like what we thought, that remember you make like seven brachos, each day is a new mitzvah, and I didn't give you the end of the bracha, the Gemara. The Gemara then compares it to tefillin, and it sounds like you make a new bracha every time you do the mitzvah. And he says, well, listen, what can you do? It's all tefillah to the eating, and he says at the end that only Rav Gura could pull this off, v'das harif v'harambam ikar. Ikar. What is that another way of saying? He respectfully disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch. He's saying the Shulchan Aruch, again, just to dramatize it, is dead wrong. Meaning, if you read the Gemara, you would have drawn a different conclusion. The Rambam says a different conclusion. The Rif, different conclusion. So what's the deal? What's the deal? So it's interesting. Even the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is a little apologetic. Nohagu. This became the minhag, and the Ramah wrote, V'hachi nahug. This is the way we do it. It almost sounds, from the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, that, yeah, of course, halachically, this doesn't really add up, but for other reasons, this became the way we practice the mitzvah. And I'm not so surprised, because how many examples do we see a halacha that is practiced a little bit less than ideally for the sake of clarity? Think of clarity. I'll give you a mashal. Let's say Yom Kippur davening goes very long. And by the time you're ready to start Musaf, it's technically already time to daven mincha. So by letter of the law, mincha should come first. Tadir she'enu tadir. Tadir kodim. Mincha should be prayed before you daven Musaf. If you're in ever that situation, it's early afternoon, and you have not yet daven Musaf. So mincha should be first. Musaf should be second. But we don't want to confuse people. People are used to davening shachris, then Musaf, then mincha. So, dare I say, my understanding of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, by using this language of Nog, V'hachi Nog, is, Eina Chanami, the Vilna Gaon is correct. Of course, Mandelstam's reading of Rabbeinu Tam is brilliant. However, it's not recommended. We like giving people very clear guidelines. And isn't it a lot more clear when people understand you make the bracha when you eat, and only when you eat? I don't know, tell me if I'm wrong. Rabbi Weintraub.
Like this, yeah, you'll go into the sukkah if you're learning, you'll make the bracha. Someone else will go in pretending to learn and be
very good.
And
very good.
You'll be learning and you make the bracha and
very good.
So
very
that's
good.
That's why eating, everybody eats the same way. So that's why they said puppy nohug, that is no.
I love
no,
it. The low palgin, the low plug. I love that. I love that. So Rabbi Weintraub's pointing out that if we were to recommend the Ikar Hadin to the Hamon Am and tell everyone, yeah, make a bracha whenever you go into the sukkah, it's going to lead to a bracha levatala. Because you think you're about to spend time in the sukkah. And then, yeah, who knows what happens. Now, again, ironically, if you fall asleep, that's a mitzvah also to sleep in the sukkah.
You'll walk right out.
But AB's pointing out very brightly that you might make a bracha and you might get distracted and it might be safer to not make a bracha. And by the way, what's at stake? Worst case scenario. Let's say you sit in the sukkah without a bracha. Did you fulfill a mitzvah or not?
Yes.
Of course, right? I mean, the bracha is almost never ma'akev unless the mitzvah itself is a bracha, like benching, whatever. But, right, you know, is it so bad to go into a sukkah and become a mitzvah without the bracha? So I thought yes. I thought that's wrong. How could you do a mitzvah without making a bracha? How do you know mitzvah about making a bracha? And who is like me? The Chachmas Adam, the Chaya. And it's quoted in the Mishnah Berurah, but I have both in front of us. The Chaya Adam, you know, brings down the sukkah, brings down the din, and he brings down the minhag of the gra, and then he writes, Aval minhag olam. It's underlined, Aval minhag kol olam gadas haposik m'she'enam avarchem ele b'shas achila. This is what we do. And here's the ironic reality. Even if you sit in the sukkah before you eat, you still don't make a bracha. What if you learn for like an hour before you eat? So says the Chai Adam, it's ein nachon. Umikol makom ein nachon adavar sheyeshev kach below bracha. So I love this line of Chai Adam. He says, it's not really right to do this. So all right, we want to make a nice equal equation for Klal Yisrael. Only make a bracha when you eat. Fine. But if you're learning for an hour, I mean, 2 hours later, you go to a nice Shkama Minyan, 7 a.m., Shomei Torah, you know, 3 hour morning Seder with Dayan Weissman. Is Rabbi Weissman going to be in town for the first days, Peter? All right, let me know if he wants to give a shiur. All right, I'll talk. And let me know if he wants to stop it at the 7 a.m. Minyan. All right, but maybe don't ask him, though. He goes down. He's always a zechus to have him. Either way, the idea being that we're pointing out, says the Chayim, it's not really right. And therefore, you know what he says? When you come home from shul, eat something. Eat something. Have some mezonos. Have a kiddush. V'av she'enu ochel el kezayis. Even though you're not really eating so much, it's fine. Because you're being koveya, you're making kiddush makom suda. I'm putting those words better. That's what he seemingly means. Again, well, all right. It's not even yantif in the Machayah. He's just saying that. He's saying, whatever, you come home from shul, you go home, and he's saying, it's your breakfast. I should have used a different term. It's breakfast. It's breakfast. He does say a kezayis. He eats, he says, meheminim. You know, it's always a funny thing, because like we say breakfast is a kaviya suda. Let's say your breakfast is not one of the heminim. You have Rice Krispies for breakfast. Yeah, so he's saying not that way. He's saying, even if it's only a kezayis, since it's a kevius, it's okay. Since it's a kevius, again, the Mishnah Berurah quotes his mamash verbatim. The Mishnah Berurah often quotes the Chai Adam, and he says, v'kasva achronim, referring to the Chai Adam, he says it's really best to not go into the sukkah without a bracha. And he says, when you come out of shul, he says, have some mizonos, have ma'at yoter mikabetza, ding, ding, the octocarp does not miss a beat. See what the Mishnah Berurah did there? He added a little chum. The Chai Adam said, have a kezayis. The Mishnah Berurah said, have a little bit more than a kabetza, which is double a kezayis. And you make your bracha. So, what this would mean, though, you have to have heyminim, which means if you have cornflakes for breakfast, it's a little funny. What, it's hadama, you have mizonos, rice krispies, ma heyminim. What, so you wouldn't make a leishiv at breakfast? Meaning, oof, it's very hard to say that, right? Because you are eating, right? You are eating. Robert, is that your question?
That was my question.
Let me look it up between now. It's very, very hard to say that if your breakfast is not one of heminim, you don't need to make a leishiv. Because what are the Chai and the Mishnah we're trying to say? You should make it koveya. You should make it kaviya. So if that's your breakfast, then that's your breakfast. Meaning, misvara. Again, I have to chazer the practical halakha. I'll get back to you later tonight or tomorrow, Robert. But again, if you have Rice Krispies for breakfast, that's your breakfast. And seemingly you'd make a lay shave, seemingly. Again, I don't know if that's the minhag. It's not the minhag. The minhag is mizonos. But again, you have to understand what they're trying to argue. They're trying to argue that if you have a kaviyus, you should do it. Ah, so here it is. So I'm wrong. Why am I wrong? Again, man, let's stand is wrong. Why am I wrong? Because you look at Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. It's not on the Mar Makomos. I'm just going to point out how two of the Gdolei Poskim of our generation, previous generation, just went in two totally different directions. Where you have Rav Avadya Yosef Zatal versus Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatal. So, for example, in the Halicha Shlomo, when you have, someone who's very much setting the tone in our world, you have the Halicha Shlomo, he writes, let's say you go into your friend's sukkah, okay? You make a lay shave when you have mine mizonos or a little bit of wine. Ukidome. 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 So what does that mean, ukidome? So what does it mean? So what's the idea? I have to get the mamish the din on non-mizonos. But again, it's not such a stretch to say that when he says ukidome, lav davka, is it mizonos and wine?
So if I have two pieces of chicken and some vegetables,
yeah,
potatoes, I don't think you make a
relation. All right, so the chayyim that he's quoting, I didn't give you, is that he says if you go to your friend's sukkah, you would make a bracha even if you don't eat there at all. Even if you don't eat there at all. But that's not the minhag. So you have to understand the boundaries. The Gra would tell you to make a bracha always. And Rabbeinu Tam said something about, well, when you make a bracha on the eating, it exempts the other things you do in the sukkah. So he says, even though the letter of the law says, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, is really with the Chaye Adam, that really technically you should always make the bracha. He says, if you're spending time there, so even if you don't eat anything, if you're mamish going to spend time with your friend in the sukkah, a unique sukkah gathering that you would not normally do, it's like visiting your cousins. So he would tell you to make a bracha. Adam said it's not the minhag. The minhag is mezonos, kizayis. And I'll tell you a secret, my own shemush in this example. I once got together with the great Rabbi Twersky, my Rebbe. We got in the sukkah. I visited him with the great Rabbi Jonas Steinmetz, the Rosh Kollel of the Y.U. Kollel in L.A. We were both, and still are, hardcore Hasidim of Moreno Rabbi Twersky. And we went to visit Rav Twersky in Rav Willig Shul Sukkah. I got to chill with Rav Willig first. That was the best. He was playing guitar. We had some pot of ice cream together. No lay shave. And then, I brought some mazonos for my get-together with Rav Jonah and Rav Twersky. And they did not eat. I made the lay shave. They did not make a lay shave. We were all mamish doing it l'shem sukkah. There was no question that it was l'shem sukkah. I was the only one who made a bracha, and I think I was the only one who ate. So I was machpit to have a kibetza, like the Mishnah Berurah. I wouldn't want to be mekel to only have one regalach, like the Chaye Adam. I'm very machpit to have two regalach. Again, kind of as a joke, but kind of not. But that would be one tone, where we're mekel adin, you don't really need all that much to warrant the bracha. But let's say Rechazon Avadja says, if you go to your friend Sukkah to visit him, don't you dare make a bracha, unless you eat achilat keva. Achilat keva. And he says, even if you have pat pekisnin and you have wine, eino mevarech, mamish diametrically opposed to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Why? Safek brachos lakyo. An amazing idea. The idea being that, listen, the Gro will tell you make a bracha, Rabbi Natan say, not to make a bracha. That's called the Safek bracha, and therefore you don't make a bracha. And what if you did make a bracha? It might be what? A bracha levatala chas v'shalom. And he quotes from the Tshuva of Rav Haigon that if you go into your friend's sukkah, it's true that you should make a bracha leshe b'sukkah, whether you know you eat or whatever. But bottom line is Rav Avadja is saying that we don't want you to flirt with bracha levatala, suffik brachos lahakel. Oh my gosh. Okay. So again, I wanted to at least get our feet wet in the sugya. I hope by now at least we appreciate the background. So on one level, I think the tone is set by the Mishnah Berurah. The minhag is really set by, let's say, a kibetz of mezonos, a kizayis of mezonos, and spending time there. It's pretty hard, though, to call it a bracha levatala. If you spend time in the sukkah and you make a bracha, you know, seemingly the Chaye Adam would tell you to make a bracha, and even the Shaar HaTzion of the Mishnah Berurah would tell you to make a bracha. But again, a lot of this is based on Hachi Nogs, what is the minhag. And again, I would encourage everyone to ask a Rav, a Shaila, of I'm going to be by my grandmother's sukkah. She only serves candy and seltzer. do I make a bracha? You wouldn't be surprised to hear different piskei halacha from different rabbanim if they're coming from more of a cautious perspective of safek brachos lahakel, or more of an embracing the mitzvah kind of perspective. Like the more traditional sources, but that might not be the minhag. It's a little bit of an ironic sugya, where the minhag might be to refrain from the bracha, even if the traditional makoros are encouraging the bracha. But Chacham Avadja said, back off the bracha levatala. All right, my friends, have a wonderful, meaningful evening. And a chakash v'sameach.